salvation. We need to be saved. And without salvation, you will die and go to hell instead of heaven. Therefore, this is very good news. And whether people believe that or not, it is good news for them too. You see, heaven and hell isn't based on whether you believed it or not. Heaven and hell is based on whether God says it or not. And you just have to decide that what God says he means, and you need to believe it. And so I encourage you to believe and trust Christ today as your Savior if you do not know him as personal Lord and Savior the way the Bible teaches and preaches. And so here it says, the gospel is by which also you are saved if you keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. And it is not in vain. We're going to talk about that today. Verse 3, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, that's Peter, then of the 12, and after that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto the present, but some are fallen asleep. When that says fallen asleep, it doesn't mean they're taking a nap. It means that they had already passed away physically. And those believers had passed away and are fallen asleep. That's what it's referring to there. So again, we're going to look at the gospel message today, and that is why we can sing what we sing and believe what we believe and have hope in this day that we live in even now. Let's pray and we'll go on. Lord, we do thank you for your word. Thank you for opportunity to preach your word and understand it. I pray that if there is someone here that does not understand the gospel, that today they would understand it. A lot of people have an understanding of religion, but Lord, that's not what you want. You want salvation. You want them to understand your word and to not know religion, but to know you. I do pray for those of us who already are saved. Maybe there's someone here that has not been baptized. Since there's salvation, they need to be baptized. Maybe they need to join the church like Dan and Deb did. Maybe they need to do something else that you'd have them to do. Maybe they need to die to self and live for you instead and crucify the flesh as we preached last week. I pray that you'd help us to hear from you, that you'd speak to our hearts, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible says in verse number 3, and this is so important, I deliver unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And notice the end of verse 4, it says, according to the Scriptures. Now I'm going to tell you something. The reason why I'm here today is because of the Scriptures. I believe the Word of God. The Word of God is being changed. It's being altered. People don't even know for sure what it says anymore. I think a lot of clergy don't even know what it says anymore. But listen, what we do and what we say we believe comes from the Bible, not warm, fuzzy feeling, not any other book on planet Earth, nothing else but the Word of God. Not experience, nothing. It is according to the Scriptures. Raise your hand if you ever met Jesus face to face. None of us have. So how do you know he exists? Because of the Word of God. Well, it's just a book. You can say it's just a book, but it's God's Word. And if it's just a book, why is it illegal in some places? Why can't we take it into school and the government buildings anymore? If it's just a book, why is it so scary? No, it's not just a book. It's God's Word. And everything we believe and everything we teach and everything that we talk about Christ has to be according to the Scriptures. Verse 3, it says, I deliver unto you first of all that which I also received. How? That Christ died for our sins. That's number one. Jesus died for our sins. And it doesn't matter if he knew you personally or not. Guess what? He knew everybody. See, when he died on the cross, you and I weren't born yet. But he knew you. He knew you were going to die on one day. He knew that you would be a sinner one day. And he knew that you needed to be saved. And so Jesus died for every man. The Bible says in Hebrews, he tasted death for every man. I reject the idea that he died for certain people. I believe that as the Bible says in John 3:16, he loved the world, he gave himself. The whosoever believeth in him, it's for whosoever. Christ died for our sins. Secondly, verse 4, he was buried. He was put in the ground, underground. And he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. What I just told you seems simple enough and seems like probably is like kind of a duh, Pastor. Everybody knows that. No, they don't. There are so many people who do not know what I just told you. Years ago, I was at Star Academy when it still existed in the Juvenile Center on a Saturday morning having chapel, and the young man and I were talking after we had the chapel service, and he was wanting to know what this means about being saved and being in heaven, and what's that all about? And I said, have you ever heard of Jesus Christ? Well, yeah, I've heard of him. I said, well, you know what Easter's about? I said, it's Easter this weekend. You know what Easter's about? He said, yeah. I said, Easter's about Jesus dying on the cross, and then 3 days later, you know what happened? And he just looked at me. I said, you know what happened? He just looked at me. I said, you know what Easter's about? I said, what is Easter about? It was about the bunny and colored eggs. He did not know what Easter was about. Thank you, everybody. That's America. That's South Dakota. They don't call it Easter break. They call it spring break. And in case you didn't notice, bunnies and eggs really don't have anything to do with each other. But the devil's good at lying. And so when I go through this, it might sound simple or kind of old, you know, old news to you, but this is the gospel. Jesus died for our sins. He was God. He became man to die on the cross to pay for the sin as the ultimate atonement for sacrifice for sin and to be our Savior, to be our payment for sin. Because if he doesn't pay for your sin, you're going to pay for it in hell. And he was buried, and he rose again. And when I told that young man, and he rose again 3 days later, he just looked at me like, are you serious? How could that be? I said, because he's God. And he 3 days later, he rose again. He's alive today. That's why it says in Romans chapter 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Why? Because you can't pray to a dead person. The reason why we can pray to him is because he's alive. By the way, Mary's dead. Anybody else you can think of to pray to, you're wasting your time. In fact, the Bible calls it necromancy. It's like seance. It's wrong. The only person you can talk to that's ever died is Jesus Christ, because he didn't stay dead. He's alive. And he lives to be our intercessor and our high priest. I don't need to go to a human high priest. I have Jesus Christ. And the power of the resurrection gives me that. And it says here, he was seen of the 12. He was seen of over 500 at one time. And you can doubt all of that if you want to. But it's pretty silly, don't you think? Because obviously we have this all in the calendar. And obviously it didn't start with bunnies and eggs. Jesus Christ is the reason for the season. And whether we got the actual day right or not, we do know this. He rose early the first day of the week. And that's why we celebrate Easter on a Sunday. And to be honest with you, every Sunday's Easter when you're a Christian. Because we celebrate his resurrection every first day of the week. As a reminder. As a reminder to others. Now, verse number 13 says, but if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? Exactly. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Exactly. Our preaching is vain. It is a waste of time, and your faith is vain. And let me tell you something. Today in America, there is a lot of vain religion. There is a lot of religion that is not based on the scriptures, that is not based on anything true, but it is vain. It is a waste of time. And there's a lot of it that truly is nothing but vain, wasted time. And I've said it many times, if God's word isn't true, if this isn't the word of God, and if Jesus isn't alive, and if nothing about the word of God is true, I'm wasting my time and you've wasted your time being here and putting money in an offering plate and serving someone that doesn't even really exist. Our preaching is vain if it's not true. Verse 15, yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. Now I want you to stop and think about this. When Jesus rose from the grave, there were 4 quaternions of soldiers. There were 16 soldiers guarding the tomb. And in those days, when you lost your prisoner, they killed you for it.
when Jesus rose from the grave, the prisoners were in big trouble. Excuse me, the guards were in big trouble. And the guards came to the chief priests, and they went to Pilate, they went to the chief priests and said, "We've lost him." And the chief priest said, "Listen, we'll just make up a story that the disciples, the 11 disciples that were left over, Judas had killed himself, the 11 disciples, they came and they stole his body." Right, 16 Roman soldiers against 11 disciples who were fishermen and tax collectors and not Roman soldiers. Hoo-ah! They somehow went through there and stole the body. No, they didn't. And if it gets to the governor's ears, we'll just cover for you. What a joke. Another joke is that we've been doing this BC and AD thing for quite a long time. And it's based on who? It's based on the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's right. That's right.
In fact, most of our documents here in this country says in the year of our Lord.
That's right.
There's just a whole lot you're going to have to erase if this isn't true. But if it's not true, then we are liars. We've been found to be liars if Jesus Christ is not who he said he was and is not alive today. Because we have testified of God that he raised him up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. And if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And we're liars. Speaking of liars, you've seen it and I've seen it. I'm not trying to be ugly right now, but I just want to use this as an example. I've gone to Rapid City and I've gone to a few stores. I've even gone to Custer, to a few places in Custer. And I have come face to face, not that I wanted to, but I came face to face with a liar. It's a pastor, they're all around. I mean, this one is outwardly living a lie. There is this dude in a dress, hairy legs, pink lipstick on, makeup, and he's a dude, but he's trying to be a girl. That's called a lie. Now, you can lie to yourself all you want. But when you want me and everybody else to pretend with you, you cross the line because I don't have to live your lie.
Right.
Now, I'm not ugly to those people. I'm not unkind to those. You know why? Because those people do not know my Jesus.
That's right.
Those people will die without Christ and go to hell unless they, by the grace of God, get saved. And so I want them to know that there's at least one Christian out there that even though I don't agree with them, I want them to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. A lot of them have crossed the line and they can't even know the truth anymore. And the Bible says God has turned them over to a reprobate mind. You see, when you live a lie long enough, pretty soon you don't even know what truth is. We live in a country of liars today. You know where it starts? Yeah! It starts in the White House. No, it doesn't. It starts in the church house. That's where it starts. The church house is where it starts. The White House is just a reflection of the church house and the lack thereof. You see, there's a lot of ministers out there who don't preach the truth anymore. There's even churches today who decided they weren't going to do any advertising about the blood or the cross or crucifixion or anything like that. They just want people to come. Listen, if you erase the truth enough, pretty soon all you have is a fun center on a Sunday. That's what a lot of churches have become in this country. Religion has compromised the truth until pretty much there are a lot of people out there who have been baptized, but they never got saved first. There are many people, including my father, that were baptized when they were babies. Babies don't make decisions. Babies can't decide for anything, let alone getting baptized. You don't baptize someone until they've been saved, until they've been born again, then they can be baptized. But what happens is there's compromise in the pulpit. And there's compromise in the pulpit because, hey, if we don't compromise, we might lose so-and-so, and we might lose this, and we might lose that, and I might have to lose my job over. And so there's just a lot of compromise. I would imagine there are churches where all of a sudden someone has a child or a grandchild who has become a homosexual or who has become this or that or whatever it might be. And so now there's pressure on the pastor to not go there. And so pretty soon after a while, churches become lame because truth isn't being preached. And after a while, it just permeates society. Today, you aren't allowed to take truth into even our government public schools. What do you mean you can't take truth? You can't take truth. You can take science called evolution, which isn't science. It is a theory. In fact, our own state government says it's a theory. And you can call it science, but the Bible says there's science falsely so called. And somehow we have gotten into the point to the point where we believe that we became from monkeys. It's a lie. Who here has ever seen that? It's a lie. Science has to be observable. It has to be testable. It has to be proven. And so it just starts to unravel. Well, if I'm just a monkey, if I'm just a higher evolved creature than the rest of the animals, then why do I need to get married? Who made up that rule? If he doesn't exist. And why can't I abort the baby if it's going to be an inconvenience for me? And we just go down and we go down and we go down. Because either we're lying, either what we're talking about right now is a lie, or they're lying. See, there is no halfway with truth.
That's right.
It's either this or it's that.
That's right.
Either the Bible is right, and Jesus Christ is who he said, and it is true, or they're right, and we're a bunch of liars. It's one or the other. So, the current White House, President of the United States, just announced the other day, I think it was on Friday, that today, and it's always been this way for the last 15 years, you and I never heard about it, but today, March 31st, is Transgender Awareness Day. Now, keep this in mind. The White House did not allow anything religious this weekend on their property. They allowed bunnies and eggs, but you couldn't have anything religious on the eggs. And they happened to announce that today is Transgender Awareness Day. Now, you say, all right, now you say, oh, that's our problem. No, that's our symptom. That's the symptom. That White House doesn't control all the houses in this country, although they might think they do. They don't. And they would never try that 40 years ago. As a matter of fact, in the 1950s, New York City used to have their skyscrapers with lights on at night formed into a cross during Easter weekend. I'm sorry, Americans, but it's not Easter anymore. It's been changed. Why? Because truth stopped being preached as truth. Pretty soon, all of a sudden, it's, well, let's compromise here, and let's do this here, and then pretty soon there were pastors and other people saying, well, we gotta keep people coming to church. So let's have bunnies and eggs, and pretty soon the emphasis was on that. And let me just tell you something. Antichrist is not just opposed, but it's also in replacement of. And when you replace something for Jesus, that's antichrist. And so bunnies and eggs are really antichrist. Yes. Not because bunnies or eggs are evil by themselves, but because it's a replacement of what it's supposed to be about. Just like Santa and Rudolph. That's where we are. And so we are either the liars or they are. And guess what? There are more of them than there are of us. So what do we do? We can start political action committees, and I'm not saying that's wrong, but the answer is to do what Jesus said to do, preach the gospel to every creature.
That's right.
I've said this recently to someone, and it's so true. I don't want to kick evolution out of the public schools. I just want to teach biblical creation next to it. I don't want to kick religion out of the schools. I just want to be allowed to show what this says. Because I promise you, if this has equal time, a lot more people will be. I'll never forget Star Academy, Juvenile Center, when we started showing creationism and the videos and things involved with creation. I'm telling you, these young men are like, whoa, no way. They were blown away at the truth they were hearing. You know, when you hear truth, something inside you says, man, that's truth. So, we're either liar. And oh, by the way, if somebody out there says, well, I just don't know if Jesus was virgin born. And I'm just not sure that he was like God, and like he was always God and then he became man. I'm just not sure about that. Let me tell you something. Then you don't believe Jesus was even a good man. Because good men don't lie, and that's exactly what Jesus said about himself, that he was God. He was virgin born, and that he would rise from the grave. And so you can't have Jesus halfway. Either you believe in Jesus of the Bible, or you might as well just spit on Jesus. Because you can't have a good Jesus who isn't God. There is no such thing. That's an evil compromise as well. So it's one or the other. Either we're the false witnesses, or they are. Now, one thing that should become obvious is they got to have government propaganda. They have to have government funding. They have to have rules that say that you guys can't come in. That should be obvious then, who is insecure and who's not. You might not like it, but what we're talking about in God's word is true. And verse 17 says this, and this is real important. If Christ be not raised, then your faith is vain, and ye are yet in your sins. You know what's worst of all? Is Jesus isn't God. If he didn't rise from the grave, then Liam, you know what that means? That means you can't be forgiven. That means you don't have forgiveness of sin. That means that you who think you're saved are really still in your sins. Now, I want you to stop. Those of you who are Christians, I want you to stop and think about something. Can you imagine if you were still in your sins with no hope of getting out? Wouldn't that be horrible? Wouldn't that be awful? And then verse number 18, then they also which are fallen asleep have died already in Christ. Are perished. All our loved ones that we thought were in heaven. No, they're gone. If Jesus can't rise from the grave, then they're not going to. Right. They're dead. They're perished. So you can't compromise the gospel. Verse 19, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. There's no hope. I don't blame most of the people who have zero interest in going to church. You know why? Because their idea of church is hopeless. Their idea of what the gospel is doesn't make any sense. All they did, they went somewhere, and maybe there was a lot of, and there's candles and people walking around in robes and whatever it might be, and water and this and that, and Latin and whatever it might be. And it's just like, I don't even get all that. But it made me feel warm and fuzzy for a little while, but it doesn't really last. I'm going to tell you right now, you don't need all that. All you need is God's word. We don't even need this building to have church. We don't need anything. It's a blessing. I appreciate the song those guys sang a minute ago and the other songs we sang today. But if your Christianity or your religion is just for this life only, what a miserable thing. There was a Methodist minister from Newcastle years ago. By the way, up in Rapid City, there's a United Methodist Church on Canyon Lake, somewhere in Canyon Lake, that has rainbow colors on their sign, and they're welcoming everyone. It's just an example of where we're at. I remember years ago, there was a young man in Newcastle that was killed horribly, terrible tragedy, because he had just graduated from high school and died a few weeks later. And I happened to be somewhat connected to who it was, and so I went to the funeral, and there in the front row was the family, and they were absolutely sobbing uncontrolled. And there was this guy walking around in his robe, and he's trying to give some kind of hope. I'm going to tell you right now, nobody was getting any hope. And nobody on the front row was sobbing out of just love. They were sobbing out of the desperate realization there's no hope. See, if in this life only you have hope in Christ, you're miserable. If this Christianity thing is just for the here and now, you're miserable. I told you a few months ago about the boy who died of with alcohol in his blood, and he was, I think, in a car wreck, and it was just a tragedy. But I think they were Lutheran. And his brother came to Custer years ago and told his story to the teenagers in an assembly. He invited them in the school assembly and then told the story at night. He said, my mom just sat there on the kitchen table and just sobbed with her tears, making a puddle on the table. And in walked the minister from our church. And she stood up and she said, where's my son? Where's my son? The minister said, well, he's down at the mortuary. No, no, no. Where is my son? No hope. Right. See, if you got religion that gives you no hope, why go to church? I don't blame people for not going. What a ripoff. You're paying this guy with a dress on to tell you what?
Right.
What a joke. If in this life only. If in this life only we use religion, then it is a crutch, like they say. But it's not. Verse 29. Else what shall they do which are baptized for the dead, if the dead rise not? Why are they then baptized for the dead? Now, this is an interesting verse. And the Mormon Church has taken this and said that you need to be baptized for your dead relatives. You've got relatives that passed away. You're not sure if they were okay. So you get baptized by proxy for them. That's why they have this huge genealogy records in Utah for this. That is not what that verse is teaching. You know what that verse is teaching? Why would we baptize if the dead don't rise? Why would we bother baptizing? If there is no resurrection, then why bother to baptize? That's what that verse is saying.
Yeah.
And why would we? Why should there be a baptism of anybody if there's no resurrection? And by the way, baptism has to picture death, burial, and resurrection. That's what it has to picture. Sprinkling don't work. We had a dog that died, and we couldn't just sprinkle a little dirt on him and leave him laying there in the yard. That doesn't work. Go to the cemetery. They bury every one of them. And that's how baptism is. It's biblical baptism. It's death, burial, resurrection. If that's not how you were baptized, let me tell you something. You weren't baptized. There's no reason for baptism if there's no resurrection. And then 30 through 32, verse 30 through 32, and why stand we in jeopardy every hour? I protest by rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord. I die daily. I am crucified with Christ, he said. Verse 32, if after the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantage is it me if the dead rise not? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. What's the point? There's no purpose. There is no purpose. Now, someone said, whatever makes men good Christians makes them good citizens. But if there is no point, why be a Christian? And then what happens to the citizenship? Look what's happened. This country used to have more people who believed what we're talking about today. And that's why we didn't have the mess we have today. When people, I don't blame teenagers. What's the point? All I see is religion. That's a terrible thing when a teenager says that, or an old person. And Paul said, what's the point? Why should I die daily, and why should I face beasts if it's no good, if there's no resurrection? But verse 20, this is a great verse, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. Jesus Christ is alive. They didn't die martyr deaths. We went through the apostles a few months ago, the story of the different disciples. Every one of them but John died a martyr death. Every one of them, according to history, died torturous deaths. None of them lived to be an old age except for John. And him, they boiled in oil, but he lived through it. They wouldn't have done that for a lie. They saw Jesus alive with the nail holes in his hands. And they knew what they were talking about was true, whether anyone else would believe it or not. Now, here's the point. He is coming again. If he's alive, then he can come again. If he's not alive, he can't come again. I sure do miss Ronald Reagan. I miss Ronald Reagan. I really do. When I was a boy, he was president. That was how I grew up in the 80s with Ronald Reagan as president. Now, I don't know that he was the greatest president who ever lived, but I sure enjoyed what he had to say, and I loved his patriotism, and I really miss him. But here's what I'm going to tell you right now. He ain't coming back. He can't. He's a dead man. He might be in heaven, but he can't come back. His soul might. He's not risen again like Jesus. What I love is when we have communion, it says in that passage, it says, you do show the Lord's death till he come. That's awesome. You do show the Lord's death till he come. There's all kinds of dead people we can talk about, past heroes, and I wish George Washington was back. But they can't come back. But Jesus will. He is coming again. Verse 21 through 23. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Look at verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. The Lord Jesus Christ is returning. And I will tell you this. He's not returning for as many who think he's returning for them. There are a lot of people who think he's coming back for them, but they're not Christians. You say, how can you say that? That sounds so mean and arrogant. It's not meant to be mean and arrogant. All I'm trying to say is there are a lot of people who were told by somebody that they're a Christian, but they're not. Who are you counting on for your salvation? What your church said? Or what the Word said through the Holy Spirit? And because he's coming again, verse 55, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. What I love about Christians, what I love about Christianity, what I love about God and his word, and what I love about the resurrection is death loses. Unlike the funeral I told you about a little bit ago, where the family on the front row was sobbing and the clergy with his robe on was doing no good, and folks, let me tell you something. I was sitting in the back row of that huge auditorium, and I was weeping because I was watching people with no hope. And death didn't lose. It won. And there's the second death, which is hell. And there was nothing in their body language or anything that was going on that gave me any hope or any thought that that person was in heaven. But we've had Christian funerals. And in those Christian funerals, I cried again, but it was a different kind of tears. It wasn't tears of loss. It was tears of memory. It was tears of thankfulness. It was tears that a testimony of death can't beat this person. I remember one lady named Jane Ann Seeley, a cousin relative to the Slagles. She had cancer, and the last time I saw her, everything was just deteriorated, and everything was skin and bones, but the smile was still the same. There was pain in the eyes, but there was a smile, and there was a conversation that you just knew. This person was dying physically, but not inside. I have no doubt I'll see Jane Ann Seeley again. Just last year, Cassandra passed away. Pain and discomfort. But I'd visit with her, we talk, and we talk about her favorite verse, Jesus wept. Why was that her favorite verse? Because it meant that he loved us. And every time I would say, Cassandra, you know, one of these days you're going to look up, and instead of me, it's going to be Jesus. And she just, big old smile. That's what we get with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what we have is the Lord Jesus Christ, our victory, and death loses. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? You can't scare me with death. And then lastly, obviously then, verse 57, 58. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord, we win. When I say we win, I mean those of us who are saved. It doesn't mean those of us who are Republican. It doesn't mean those of us who go to church. It doesn't mean those of us who claim, but those of us who are saved and we are recorded in his book, we win. We don't lose. It is not in vain to serve the Lord. Your labor is not a waste of time. It is not in vain to serve the Lord. I'm so thankful for so many different Christians who have died before me, and I've gotten to see their testimony of death. And how that, in spite of everything, they were still hopeful. They were still joyful. They were still certain of where they were going. We have a song in our hymnal written by a man who lost all of his children and wrote, "It is well with my soul." When sorrows like sea billows roll, you've taught me to say it is still. It might not be well with my emotions and my body. They hurt right now, but it is well with my soul. I'm not interested in your religion. I'm not interested in the size of your building or your congregation. I'm not interested in what you got on this earth. I'm interested in what your testimony is when it comes to dying. I'm interested in seeing what it looks like when it really comes to crunch time. Years ago, Daryl Chaplin told this story about his wife when she was a little girl, and they were missionaries in the Congo, the Gring family. And the Gring family were missionaries in the Congo, and this would have been 100 years ago now. And this little girl named Mary was there with her father as missionaries, and they had been serving the Lord so faithfully. And you know how many people were getting saved? Zero. All these people who were heathens and didn't even wear clothes and had bones in their nose, and they were trying to tell them about their Jesus and tell them about the God of the Bible and how they need to turn to him for salvation, and he was the real God. And then one day Mary's mom got sick, real sick. And after a long time, these people in the Congo saw the first white woman they ever met in their life die. And they watched this little white family gather around, and they dug a hole and they buried Mrs. Grings in the ground. And they sang, and the missionary said, "My wife has gone to heaven. Her body is here, but her spirit is with the Lord. And I know I'm going to see her someday." And the kids all stood around and affirmed what their dad was saying. And they sang. There were tears, but they sang. And they prayed. And they went back to their hut. The very next morning, they didn't really knock, because you can't knock on a hut. But they hollered at the door. Mr. Missionary, we want you to tell us more about your God. Missionary said, Why, sure, but why now? Because we've been hearing you tell us how good your God is for living. But now we saw how good he is for dying. There might be somebody in this room that's going to die before the end of the year. I'm not going to wish that on you. But if you're saved, I sure wish I could go where you're going. And I hope if you are dying this year, that your example of what a Christian is so obvious to the nurses and the doctors and whoever else you come in contact with that they are saying, wow, I wish I had what they had. And oh, by the way, there have been people call themselves Christians, but when it came time to dying, they sure didn't look like it. And I can honestly tell you this, I wish you had what I have. I am a Christian. I am not a perfect person. I got a lot of issues in my own life that still need work, but I am a Christian. And if I die today, you can be sure where I'll be. How about you? Let's bow our heads for prayer. And our heads bowed, our eyes closed. With no one looking around, I have just a few questions. Number one, would there be someone in this room that would say, honestly from your heart, you don't care what anyone thinks, you just would say, Pastor, I'm not sure that if I died, I'd be in heaven. Would that be you? Could you honestly say, I'm not sure. I don't know. Could I see your hand if that's you? Pastor, I'm not sure. See, if you can't be honest about it, I can tell you this. There's no sense talking about getting saved. And so it starts with being honest. If you're not sure, you're going to have to admit that first. Secondly, if you know that you are saved, you know that. But maybe you haven't been baptized since. And you need to be. Let me know. That's what you need to do. Maybe there's something else. Maybe you know that you haven't been a testimony for Jesus because you've been living for self. Let me just say, it is worth the sacrifice. As he proved by being our sacrifice, it is worth the sacrifice to do the right thing. And the reward is great. Lord God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for opportunity to come and preach and teach your word today, to hear it preached. Thank you for this day that we celebrate on the calendar as Resurrection Day. Thank you for the opportunity that we have to know truth and to believe the truth. Help us to live the truth, not be intimidated by the lies that are out there, by the deception. Lord, you said that broad would be the way that leads to destruction. There's always going to be a majority of unbelievers, and we know that, but help us to not be intimidated by them and afraid. Help us to share truth, because amidst the crowd, there's always one out there who's seeking truth. Help us to reach out to that one by preaching the gospel to every creature, not knowing which one will listen, but preaching the gospel to every creature. I pray that you'd work in our hearts, make us burdened for our neighbors and our friends and our community. Help us to really live and be excited about what we say we believe. So excited that we're not afraid to die for it, because we know it's worth it. Thank you for demonstrating that death is not the winner and sacrifice is worth it. Thank you for rising from the grave and giving us hope. In Jesus' name, amen. We're dismissed.